Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5 to get Dimitri live and dangerously local Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Also on the River Talk Radio Network, 94.9 FM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430. It is the audio path of totality. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. And now the force multiplier of truth. That's just how I roll. It's actually my business card. Also, you can see the show. It's a live stream on Rumble. Rumble is like YouTube, only without the censorship. It's YouTube for us. It's YouTube for MAGA Nation. It's YouTube for real Americans. So it's Rumble, and you can see the live stream of the show. Again, a warning, there's not much to see. High school graduate talking into a microphone, and on his mic flag, he's got this little yellow ducky from Nail City Jeep Club. Thank you, Miss Elvira. And you see our world-class studio here. Untold expense has been poured into the... never mind. All right, fine. So we've got all of that going on. We've got Dimitri Graffiti coming up in just a little bit. What did you think of the interview with Tom Willis? State Senator Tom Willis running against West Virginia's wrinkled rhino, Shelley Moore Capito. What did you think of the interview? What did you think of his responses, his positions? I'd love to know. 740-325-1490. That's 740-325-1490. Also, congratulations, Julie Larish, live exclusive interview this morning after she won the big award from Channel 7 and Nextdoor, the extraordinary or special woman, the something woman of the year. It was like very, very big, oh, I think that was it, very, very, very big deal woman of the year. That might not be the official name, but God knows she has earned it. And I played a major role in this, and I guess I can share that with you now. I shared it with her earlier, if you just tuned in. I was asked to nominate Julie Larish for this Woman of the Year for Channel 7. I like Julie Larish a lot. Belmont County, Hoof and Paw, wonderful organization. Amber, wonderful. Juliana, they're all wonderful. Work like dogs to take care of, well, dogs and cats and horses and all sorts of non-human type of things. But I told the person who had asked me, no, I am not going to nominate Julie Larish, even though I hope she wins. And the reason that I'm not is because if Channel 7 sees that I nominated her, that would be like the kiss of death. And they would not give her the award, although God knows she has earned it. No question about it. And so I said, no, I am not going to nominate her. And I didn't. And, of course, Channel 7 gave her the award, which she certainly has earned. And 7 did a very nice job with this. They really did. I mean, I got to give them credit for this. So I don't want to take all the credit for Julie Larish winning this award. Maybe not even 95%. But I played a key role here. I think, you know, it would be tough to argue that I did not play a key role simply by not endorsing her. I mean, everybody knows how much Dimitri does not like to brag. Everybody knows this. So, but I felt it was important. I felt it was important for you to know the kind of role that I played in this because, well, that's the kind of guy I am. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. next. We have some audio here that I want to share with you. This whole thing, this war in Iran, that President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance, who I thought was going to get the nomination in 2028, now I don't think so. Between the war and the Epstein files and nobody being charged, I think J.D. Vance has got some very, very serious challenges ahead of him. I really do. And I like the guy, but boy, oh boy, this is bad stuff. This is very bad stuff. And I have to believe that, again, Israel is a sovereign nation. I've always supported Israel. I always will. I've got no problem with them. I think it's an amazing country, an amazing story in so many different ways. And they do have lots and lots of enemies all around them in the Middle East. And frankly, it started with the creation of Israel, because there were an awful lot of Arab countries that did not want that. And it was just handled so poorly. What should have happened is the United States should have welcomed in every Jew from Europe, from the concentration camps, from wherever. It's like, you know, come here. Please come here. We welcome you. We love you. We'll help you, you know, set you up and do whatever. That's what should have happened. But the Democrats, being Democrats, and many of them from the deep South, I've got to believe that they just did not want any more Jews in this country. I think it's really pathetic. But again, the Democrats controlled everything. And so the next best thing for these poor people, especially from Europe, who suffered beyond comprehension with this whole the Nazis and everything else, was to create a state for them. Israel. And so that's what the English did, along with the UN, and the United States was involved. But all of this could have gone away if we simply would have welcomed all of them in here to America. One of our big mistakes. But again, the Democrats controlled everything. And, you know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism, let me tell you, as you see even today in the Democratic Party. The anti-Semitism is unbelievable. So an opportunity lost forever. Shame on this country. Shame on the Democrats that were controlling every branch of government. Shame on them. All right. So caused a lot of problems in the Middle East because the Arab nations said, hey, whoa, wait a minute. What the hell is going on here? Long story short, Israel has had a very, very, very difficult time of it. To their everlasting credit, they have been able to defend themselves and to flourish in spite of all these different challenges. It really is an amazing story. And I treat them as a sovereign nation. I think they have every right to defend themselves. They have every right to do whatever they need to do in terms of diplomacy and lobbying and frankly, firepower of killing their opponents. They're killing the enemy wherever they can find them. But I think the United States should not be doing Israel's dirty work. I think Israel is more than capable of taking care of herself. And if that includes using nukes, which I suspect that they have, I have no problem with that either. If Israel feels the need to nuke Iran because Iran is trying to vaporize Israel, while it would be very sad, and certainly nobody wants that, if Israel felt that it had to do that to preserve Israel, then okay, fine. That's what you do to the enemy when you have nukes and you feel you are threatened. That's what the United States did. We nuked our enemy when our enemy attacked us in Pearl Harbor. Hell, we nuked them twice. So who the hell are we to say, well, you shouldn't really use any nukes against your enemies, Israel. We'll go and do your dirty work for you, which I think is terrible, absolutely terrible. And I think I don't know, but I suspect that we have been played by a lot of the diplomacy going on in Israel, the lobbying, Mossad. And again, they're not working for America. They're working for Israel, which is the way it should be. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. But regarding our country, we've got some serious problems here regarding Americans who are politicians who seem to have a divided loyalty, either the United States or Israel. Tucker Carlson addressed some of this, and I want to share this with you if I can push the right. Okay, I think this is the right button. All right, I wanted to share some of what Tucker Carlson had to say on this issue.
Start with the purported assassination attempts on Donald Trump. Now, why are those significant? Because yesterday, the President of the United States said, I did this. And by this, I mean killed the head of state of Iran, the Ayatollah Khomeini. He tried to kill me twice, but I got him first. It's almost a verbatim quote from the president who thinks that. He's been told that. Get it. What do we know about that? Where did that intelligence come from that proved that the government of Iran, run by the Ayatollah, this religious leader, tried to assassinate the President of the United States twice? Do we know where that came from? Oh, it came from Israel. That's where that intel came from. Well, let's see it. Why not? At this point, he's dead. Why can't we see that? Oh, sources and methods? Tough. We went to war over this. Americans are dead because of this. You can't hide behind that anymore. Show us. And maybe we'll find that there's really good intel. And it just absolutely shows that the government of Iran, run by the Ayatollah, tried to assassinate the President of the United States. That might have been a good reason for war right there. But maybe it doesn't show that. Because this country has certainly been manipulated a lot by Israeli intelligence and other foreign countries' intelligence, but certainly by Israeli intelligence. That's why we thought there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Saddam Hussein was paying the families of suicide bombers in Israel, which is bad. Not endorsing that. Israel wanted him out. Get it. Why did we do that? Because Israeli intelligence told us that he was working on chem bioweapons and a nuke. Totally false. We got that from Israeli intelligence. So at that point, the track record suggests, hey, and no offense to Ted Cruz or all the other dumbos who are always saying, no, we get all this actionable intelligence. It's so important. We need them so desperately. Really, well, let's evaluate the quality of that intelligence. And what percentage is true? What percentage is sincerely mistaken? And what percentage is designed to manipulate us into military action on their behalf? It'd be interesting to know. And until we do know, the rest of us are going to just speculate. And some of us will put brakes on our own imaginations and try not to be too dark about it.
Yeah, no question. Absolutely no question. Lots of questions now regarding Israel's influence with American politicians. And again, I don't blame Israel. If I were the prime minister of Israel, I would be doing exactly what Israel is doing to make sure that it's in the best interest of Israel, other than the Epstein honeypot scandal. And that doesn't begin to describe it. Honeypot doesn't begin to describe it. I will bet you your last dollar that this whole Epstein thing, which is a monstrous worldwide child trafficking operation that is so much more than pedophilia, as horrible as pedophilia is, I will bet you your last dollar it's a Mossad operation. No question about it, with the complete blessing of our government. I think that's the reason why. And of course, the nows we're learning with all of these, the testimony and the emails and everything, the Rothschild links to Jeffrey Epstein, which again stunned me, because for decades, listening to the crazies with the tinfoil hats, they were talking about the Rothschilds, and I didn't know. I thought that was a made-up name. I swear to God, I thought it was made up. And the Zion elders and this, that, and the other, I thought they were all insane. Honestly, anti-Semites, they hate Jews, they're, you know, everything is a conspiracy. I God is my witness, I thought they were insane. I can't begin to tell you how stunned I was to realize there's actually a Rothschild family that is so influential financially throughout certainly Europe and maybe the world. I honestly just did not know this. But Jeffrey Epstein was very open about, oh, he represents the Rothschilds, and Bill Clinton in his latest testimony, how close he is to the Rothschilds, and Leslie Wexner talking about the Rothschilds, and his lawyer reaching over saying, essentially, if you keep talking about this, I'm going to have you killed, or I'm going to kill you. There's a lot of stuff here that needs to be unpacked and really needs to be looked at. I'm not making any. And the big one from yesterday, which I had no idea until I started doing some digging. It is quite possible that the reason Donald Trump does not want to charge even one of the members of the Billionaire Boys Club on Epstein Island with anything is because of what my guess is because of what happened in the late 80s, early 90s to Donald Trump. He was on the verge of bankruptcy. His brand was going to collapse. His financial empire was going to collapse with the Taj Mahal in Atlantic City. And who comes to the rescue but a Rothschild bank and Wilbur Ross, who ends up being the Secretary of Commerce in Trump's first administration. I cannot help but wonder if there's more to that story. And maybe that's the reason why Donald Trump does not want to charge even one person. Because if one person gets charged regarding this whole Epstein thing, one rapist, then look out, because he's going to flip, he's going to make a deal, and the floodgates will open. honestly, I thought the crazies were just that. They were just crazy. But you read these documents, you take a look at this stuff, and you go, oh my God.